The Old Testament reading for the last Sunday of the church year is from Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from their countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. O Lord, have mercy on us. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is expected who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him, to put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. O Lord, have mercy on us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will answer them, truly, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. And he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked, or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Truly, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Some people have trouble with Matthew 25 and the parable of the sheep and the goats. So clearly, this text is about the last day, right? Our final judgment, where we will all stand before Christ in all of his glory and in all of his might as he's sitting there in his, on his throne, vindicated throne, and we will be judged. Well, at first glance, this parable kind of looks like a checklist, doesn't it? Feed the hungry, check. Give the thirsty a drink, check. Welcome the stranger, check. Clothe the naked, check. Visit the sick, the imprisoned, check, check. So if I check off all of these things, then Jesus will let me in, right? But is that really what our Lord Jesus Christ intends for us to get out of the gospel reading this morning? The question is, when we look at Matthew 25, is this so-called checklist descriptive or is it prescriptive? In other words, is Christ describing how his sheep will be judged, or is he prescribing, giving us a list of things we must do in order to be counted as one of the righteous, one of the sheep? Well, the answer to the question, to answer it, first we need to look at how the text begins. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, with all the angels with him, and he sits on his glorious throne, before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats, and he will place on his right the sheep, the left his goats. Now, this is absolutely critical right from the onset of the parable. What is the first thing that Jesus does when he returns in all of his glory? He separates. The separation has already occurred. He's got all the nations gathered them in front of them. This is every single person that has ever lived in the history of the world that ever has been created. They are standing there before him, and before a word is spoken, he separates them. As a shepherd separates sheep from the goats, the sheep he places on his right, which of course is the place of honor, and on the goats he places on his left. He separates the righteous from the wicked, the believers from the unbeliever, his own sheep from the goats. The goats he does not know, and he do not know him. You see, the separation right then and there is the final judgment. That's it. The judgment has already taken place in the separation. And that's crucial to understand. So when Jesus is actually separating the sheep from the goats, it's more like a public announcement, a public proclamation to all who have ears to hear that these people over here on my right are indeed my sheep. They didn't just suddenly become my sheep on the last day. They have always been my sheep. And now you all get to see and hear it. He's simply letting all creation know that these are his. These are his baptized believers. They listen. They follow where he leads because they hear their shepherd's voice and follow his word. It's only after the separation and the declaration of eternal life that Jesus then speaks of good works. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. Naked, you clothed me. Sick, you visited me. And in prison, you came to me. Second, we need to look at the reaction of the sheep. Notice when Jesus proclaims these wonderful good works that they have done in his name, notice the sheep don't really know what he's talking about. They don't realize that they've done these works worthy of such high praise from their Lord. But good works, you see, simply follow. They flow out of good fruit that flows out of a good tree. It is the natural result of faith. You see, it is impossible to separate faith from works. If you have faith, good works follow. They must. It's natural. It must be. That's how it works. One with faith does these works. And the sheep have faith, and this is a mighty and active faith that does these things. Good works that are shown in ordinary, active, everyday duties, everyday works that they perform. Works of kindness and mercy, even to the least of these, my brothers. For how we treat the lowliest of our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ is how we treat Christ himself. So it is true. If you're not producing good works, if you find yourself despising, hating even the least of these, then yeah, that could be a problem. Your faith probably has something wrong with it. Faith without works is dead, James 2 says. And that is true because a lively, active faith will lively do active works as well. That, then, would be an excellent self-examination for you to engage in, to take a look at that within your own heart and repent, then, of the self-centeredness or the self-righteous pride that might be lurking in your heart. It is, because it's lurking in each and every one of ours. That pride that's there that makes us think that somehow we are better than the other, better than those of the lowliest of the lowly. Then we humbly turn to Christ and we ask for forgiveness and we receive that forgiveness. Then, filled with Christ's love and his mercy and his forgiveness, now restored into that proper relationship with our Heavenly Father, our heart will naturally be motivated to do these things, to do these works of love like feed the hungry, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, visit the sick and imprisoned, and many, many other good works flowing out of love and faith. Because if you want to look at this as a checklist, this is by no means exhaustive. The Ten Commandments give you more than ample things to do. But as for the goats, they have no faith. See, many of the goats thought they were pretty good people. They thought that they should be ushered into the kingdom of heaven. They figured Christ would let them right on through the gates. No problem. So they're taken back then when Jesus starts listing all of their wicked, evil deeds. What do you mean I'm not good enough? Who are you to say such a thing to me? They don't get it. But we know, Hebrews 11:6 says, that without faith it is impossible to please God. So no matter how good they thought they were, no matter how good they may have looked on the outside, they're guilty. They're condemned. They're guilty because they don't have faith. They don't believe in the one whom the Father has sent. They have no faith in Jesus Christ. They have not been forgiven of all of their wicked deeds. Instead, their sins remain on them, and they will be punished. And as a result, Jesus tells us, they are thrown into hell, which Jesus says was originally prepared not for human beings, but for the devil and his minions, right? Not originally created for human beings, but the devil. That's where they will go eternally to be punished. So let's be crystal clear on this. It is Christ's work and faith in the person and work of Christ that saves, not works. You Lutherans get that, right? Not works. Yet, in the final judgment, your works will be taken into account. They will be judged. So how does that work? How is it that if you are saved by grace through faith, not by works, that your works will be taken into account on the final judgment? Well, what happens when you take a poor, miserable sinner, like you, or like me, and you remove all those poor, miserable sins from that poor, miserable sinner? If Christ has indeed taken away your sin and paid for that sin on the cross, and as we read in our epistle reading, has indeed risen victorious over sin, death, and the devil, if that is true, what do you have left if all your sins have been removed and Christ has taken them? What's left? Only good, right? Only good. Thanks be to God, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you are his sheep. He has called you by his gospel. He has enlightened you by his gifts. He has baptized you into Christ Jesus. You belong to him. He belongs to you. He has purchased and won you by dying on the cross on your behalf. He took your sins in his body and bore those on the tree, paying the ultimate price. And as 1 Corinthians 15 says, he indeed, in fact, is risen now from the dead. That means that your sins no longer belong to you. He took them. They're gone. They don't remain on you. Jesus has already taken them and nailed them to the cross, where they have withered and died, never to return. Gone. And not only that, in exchange for taking away your sin and taking that into himself and paying the price, he then, in exchange for your sin, gives you his righteousness, his holiness that he earned as one born under the law to redeem those under the law. How sweet of a deal is that? Awesome. It's a beautiful deal, far better than any deal you're going to get on Black Friday or Cyber Monday coming up tomorrow. Faith. Faith is the open hand that receives the blessings, the gift that Christ gives. Faith is trusting in that promise, God's promise. Faith trusts that God's promises really are for me and for you. Faith trusts that Christ's death on the cross really is sufficient, more than enough, that it really has separated you from your sins eternally, as far as the east is from the west. And faith is motivated then by the gospel to look at God's law, the Ten Commandments, and obey them because they are good, and to do God's good works, even loving and serving the least of these among us. Because of Jesus, by grace through faith in Jesus, you can stand confidently. We sang, "This shall be my confidence." You can stand confident on that final day, on Judgment Day. By grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you can stand confidently, you can stand tall right now. Because you can be confident, as Romans 8:1 says, that there is now no condemnation, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's you. So if you hear that, no condemnation in Christ, all of your sins are no longer counted against you. They're gone. He took them all. If your sins have been removed, there's no condemnation for you. If you're wrapped in Christ's perfect righteousness, what is left to judge? That's right. Only good. Only the good works that you have done. The Almighty Judge on that day, even now, he only sees the beautiful works that flow naturally out of your heart through faith and love, even for the lowliest among us. So then, is Matthew 25 descriptive, the sheep and the goats? Is it descriptive or is it prescriptive? At this point, hopefully, it's obviously clear. Jesus is describing. It is descriptive. Is he describing how they will be judged or what we must do to get in? 100% descriptive. This morning, Jesus is giving us a glimpse of what is going to happen. That's what he's doing. He's revealing to you the end when he returns in all of his vindicated glory and he will judge the living and the dead. He is describing what it will be like for you, dear believers, his sheep, on that great and glorious day. The Almighty Judge will judge you on that last day, but it won't be a surprise to you because the judgment has already occurred. The separation has already taken place. Christ has already died and risen again for you. And this is crucial and comforting. The very one sitting on that throne who is to be your judge on that final day, who is that? It is the same loving Savior who laid down his life to save you. That's who your judge is. So on that great day, Judgment Day, all the nations in are going to be gathered there, every single person that has ever lived, and they will all hear. They will all hear the bright, glorious proclamation. All who have ears to hear, the proclamation declared upon you. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.